Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Jane for our midweek show. Tonight we will having Don and John and Jane on the show. I'm not sure about other people. I'm playing an intro song until they call in, and the topic tonight is Yemeni airstrikes by U.S. and England Western powers that are trying to protect their shipping lanes, and the Baltic Sea gas explosion that happened in 2022. No one knows who the cause is, but I'm playing the short video on that. Here we go. I guess John's song is over. Don is on the air, and we just played an introduction song. The topic tonight is shifting a little to Europe, and then we can scale it back a little. Yemeni airstrikes by U.S. and England trying to protect the shipping lanes in the Red Sea going on around the corner of Yemen to the Amal Sea. And the Baltic Sea gas explosion findings. So I'm going to start with a short video first explaining it didn't get a lot of attention in America, but Sweden ends its Nordic Stream sabotage probe. It's a pipeline that went from Russia to Germany in the Baltic Sea that affected the Swedish, German, and Danish borders. It was supposed to be a pipeline where Russia used to provide gas to Germany, but they were weaning off of it at the beginning of the Ukrainian war so they wouldn't be so dependent on Russia. And this is a short video explaining exactly what went on. So one moment, please. It's very short.
So
What is inside Area 51? Who really killed John at Nord Stream pipeline? It's over 18 months since the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipelines were sabotaged. After following multiple clues and much finger-pointing, Swedish prosecutors are now saying they are ending their investigation into the incident. Many could find the reason amusing. The team of top-notch Swedish experts who spent over a year and a half piecing together the clues, trying to find who was behind the sabotage, now say they are walking off because they do not have jurisdiction into that case. They also assert that Sweden's citizens and interests had not been harmed.
Of course, we can expect an investigation in other countries, primarily Germany. I think that's important for Sweden and the Swedish evidence gathered that there is an investigation in Germany, because they are directly affected by this in a way that's not the case for Sweden.
On September 26, 2022, a series of deep-sea explosions in the Baltic Sea knocked off the Nord Stream gas pipelines. The blast ruptured the multi-billion-dollar Nord Stream pipelines transporting Russian gas to Germany and as the Baltic Sea in Swedish and Danish waters, releasing vast amounts of methane. Russia's Gazprom said about 800 million cubic meters of gas, equivalent to about 3 months of Danish gas supplies, had escaped into the air. It took several days to stop the gas leak. Earlier, Sweden confirmed that it found traces of explosives on several objects recovered from the site, confirming it was a deliberate act. According to the United Nations, the leaks in the Baltic Sea were the largest single release of methane ever recorded. Russia blamed the West, specifically the U.S., for the blast, saying Washington wanted to halt shipments of Russian gas to Europe. Many reports and open-source investigations blamed pro-Ukrainian groups over the sabotage. A Washington Post report even claimed that the Biden administration was aware of the gas pipeline blast 3 months before it happened. According to reports, the U.S. intelligence received extensive information from a European ally. Sweden, Denmark, and Germany launched separate investigations into the Nord Stream blasts, each tightly controlling information. Currently, Germany and Denmark are still investigating. If no conclusive evidence is found by the two investigations, one of the most audacious acts of infrastructure sabotage will remain an unsolved mystery in modern history. Freon is now available in your...
So, that pipeline went through the sea, it passed Lithuania and Finland, all the way down, and Poland, all those international borders to get to Germany. It was a giant explosion. It happened going on 2 years ago, and it's hardly gotten any international attention. But the thing that puzzles me is that I really don't think the U.S. would have done that, and it's doubtful the Ukraine could have pulled that off, could have pulled off the explosions in international waters. They don't have the military technique to do that. So with that, I'm going to pull in John, and we do have a guest caller, but I'm going to talk to Don first. Good evening, Don.
Hello there. Hello, everyone.
Hi. So you were on another podcast tonight?
Yes. I had a Zoom meeting with the Carson City Democratic Central Committee, and I was their guest speaker.
That's great. It sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. So a lot of international news bypasses us because that's my favorite topic is foreign policy. But have you ever heard of the gas pipeline explosion between in the Baltic Sea until tonight, until they released the findings on international news?
No. And I do remember about a year ago something happened to Nord and then Nord Stream, and then about two months ago some blurb came out about it was either an explosion or just shutting it off where they didn't want to. I don't know what it was, but No, I hadn't heard of any explosion, no.
Well, I think it was like, okay, it didn't affect Sweden directly except for it was in their waters, but it was a very disastrous thing environmentally. And even if people were hostile towards Russia and the Ukraine, you know, Russia invading the Ukraine, it was still a very debilitating thing to do to Europe as a whole, causing that much methane release. And they could have redirected that gas somewhere else, like at least have it stored in Germany and sold somewhere else. But I feel like that type of international sabotage is really devastating, and they really they have no clue who did it.
Well, so, they're just starting their investigation, so nobody... I mean, when I say that, they're just starting to report.
Well, Germany started a while back, but Sweden couldn't find any answers.
There you go. So they've already started their investigations, and so we have to still take time for them to let the international community take a look at what it is about. But around that time was when Russia wanted to more or less sabotage its own supplies to Poland, and in order to stop the Ukrainian.
Well, I think Russia probably spent a lot of money initially building that several years ago, because they had an agreement with Germany. So I don't think Russia would have sabotaged it themselves. It was somebody else. But with
The Ukrainians are probably prime suspects.
Okay, I'm going to bring up the Yemeni airstrikes, but before I do that, I'm going to see who's listening in. So one moment. This is Jane of Political Gravity. Who do we have on the air tonight?
Yes, Goldenrod 1960. How are you, my dear? I hope you remember me, my dear.
Yes, we've been wondering about you for years, and we were super sad you never called in. Singapore Mike?
Yes, absolutely, my dear.
Is that Mike?
Yes, how are you doing?
Don wants to say hi to you.
Yes, thank you very much. Kalakwas to you, too.
So Don said, where have you been? He wants to know what happened to you.
Well, we have a complex life history, so, I've been, still hanging tight.
You don't have to put a lot of details in, but did you move or something?
No, it's the same area, but the question is that, world is in brink of the World War III, as Don knows it too. That we have the very complex issue, because last night, if this information correct, Poland scrambled 3 F-16 and brought down missile from Russia, but not inside the Poland, inside the Ukraine, very close to the border with Poland. So also.
Poland dismantled nuclear silos on their border with the Ukraine?
No, not nuclear silos. It was one of the, regular missiles that they sent. They're supposed to go for...
Oh, okay, I get it.
It's supposed to go for Ukraine, but somehow it was very close to the borderline with Poland, and Polish, whether it was the F-16 that was given by Ukraine, they scrambled it, or somehow they brought it down and not in NATO area. If it was the NATO, my gosh, it was article would be broken. We would have a code red in the planet right now. So somehow they were able to brought it down away from the Poland, land. So
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
By the way, I just want
to
apologize. The last time you called us 2 or 3 years ago, I remember one of our hosts was rude to you, but it was a guest. It was a guest. It wasn't one of us. And I can't remember if it was Pianchi. Was it Pianchi who was rude? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But I don't think.
I just found the story. Poland's defense forces said an unknown object entered the country's airspace Friday from the direction of the Ukraine and then vanished off radars. Everything indicates that a Russian missile intruded in Poland's airspace.
Right.
So I guess they're not very precise in Russia.
I guess so, you know, or they wanted to test drive their own missiles, too. It was test to see if, for example, they wanted to land it on Poland, can they land it on Poland? Of course, but in this case, they said, no, we landed in the borderline with Poland and Ukraine. So, because we know that it was about 8 months ago that a Russian missile or a drone pretty much was down Poland land. About 10 kilometers from the Ukraine borderline. So we can see if this would be the second accident, for sure Article 50 would be generated by tonight. But because it was landed in Ukraine, so kind of still they give Russia more chances, I guess. But Russia, you know, this Polish exercise, as you know, it happens starting from a few days ago, for 3 months, all the airspace.
There was also an incident in 2022 where Ukraine fired a missile that struck Poland grain silo and killed two people.
Right,
now,
right.
When you were saying the international war is about to break out, I wanted to mention two things. I'm still, later in the show, I'm going to still play the video on the Yemeni, the Britain and American airstrikes in Yemen against the Houthis in 10-30 targets, because the strikes that Iran is conducting, is some of them are coming all the way from Syria towards the U.S. where they killed American soldiers in Jordan. And also there was another, Americans killed two top rebel leaders in Iran today. But I don't even know what rebel group they're in. So it seems that, like, the United States is doing really specific targeted killings and in countries we're not even involved in a conflict with currently. So
no, actually, they killed two of the leaders of the Hezbollah, Kataib.
Okay,
Hezbollah.
I wasn't sure what group
and
it was. It said it was a rebel group.
Yes, Kataib Hezbollah, that they were ordered a strike against the American base the last week that they killed the three beloved American soldiers.
Yeah,
so
34
result,
were injured, and nobody hardly mentioned that there were 34
right.
American soldiers injured. That's a large number. There's only 350
right.
of them on the whole base.
Right. So as a result, they took them out tonight, and it was a very great job. Because wherever they are, they have to know you cannot mess with the United States of America or with its allies or with any of their soldiers or Navy or Air Force. But at the same time, the world is in big tension because China is preparing to invade Taiwan and North Korea is going to really be quadrant soon. And but Joe Biden signed off on Iranian attack. That means very soon we have seen the B-2 bombers with F-35s with the Iranian pilots that are belong to America, Top Guns. They are going to go in attack on Iran soon. And those
is
Iranian
it because
pilots,
Iran's involved in the sabotage against Israel?
Right. Yeah, because we have a lot of Iranian dissent working for top guns of the United States of America. So they know the area. They don't like Ayatollahs, and they are loyal to United States and are top gun of the United States. And who else better can do achieve any, you know, series of a bombing by United States to Iran by Iranian top guns, descendants from Iran? So we cannot give you the numbers, but the numbers are too many. And also not only Navy has it, Iranian dissidents are on different parts of the United States military and many, many others, because they want their homeland to be free. So this is the best time to, you know, to use everything that possible to precise attack Iran. And probably first they will attack the oil refineries in Iran, the south part. So if you want to go, you have to go after the head of a snake. Head of a snake is in Iran. It's in Tehran. Ayatollah. So Ayatollah must be targeted.
The only reason that's true is because Gaza doesn't have any way to garner their military offense in the strip of where the Palestinians live. They can't create any military faction. In other words, they have to get support from outside their country.
Right.
Jay,
exactly.
Yeah,
so
Jay, exactly.
John, you can talk too, Don. Go ahead.
No. Ahead. I was just going to say Mike is right. About the head of the snake. The only way to do it is probably to go into Iran and eradicate the head. So that's why these pilots are getting trained. And that sounds, in a lot of ways, just like 9/11, because a lot of those Saudi pilots were trained with U.S. military base, Air Force.
But if we go into Iran on a special mission, I hope it doesn't. Is it going to turn into Armageddon, World War III?
But everybody say that. But really, I thought that they lost their credibility. They have lost their legitimacy. They were not legitimate from the day one. From 1979, when they established, they were not legitimate. They were occupier of Iran. They were, they were never been voted by the will of the people of Iran. Just with the less than 10 million people, they give them votes, and then they say, oh, all Iranians, they vote for them, and that's not right. And only 10 million rules the 90 million. And 80 million people are sick and tired, and the other 10 million people that are out of the country, and they are, hoping that one day they can able to reunite with their loved ones in Iran. But is that possible? I hope so. But if really, if Joe Biden wants to win the election, he needs to attack Iran as soon as possible, or he will lose legitimacy, because Ayatollahs are laughing to Biden. They say, look at him. He brought everything, and then he's just sitting in dock. He is scared from us. They should go in and take care of the IRGC, and the rest will be upon the people of Iran. They will take care of the rest for the West. Go ahead, please.
Good point. Don, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I was just I was agreeing with what Mike was saying, and good to hear from you, man. I was wondering where the heck you went, but we're just.
I want to hear from you, Don. I know you very well. I appreciate you as well. I appreciate Golden Rod as well too.
We're still here by hook and by crook. We've gone through a couple different hosts in the last couple of years, so You know, if you wanted to keep calling back, I'm sure you'd be welcome.
Yeah, we'd like to have you because some of our hosts, we don't have a, we have a differing worldview, and a lot of times we fall into major religious conflict because one of our hosts is an atheist.
But I don't think it's bad.
No, it's not bad unless someone's directly attacking, like, Jesus or something. No, I just wanted to mention one thing to you guys. Yemen is in a very strategic part of the Red Sea, and then it dips around the corner by Djibouti, the Gulf of Aden that opens up into the Arabian Sea. But it is kind of funny that a lot of these pirate rebels, not only in Yemen, but in another strait by Egypt, have been sabotaging ship control for a long time. And I think there was some conflict in the Persian Gulf about a year ago. So can you guys pause 5 seconds? Well, I play another about 2-minute video, and I'm going to start it right now.
Just
give it a time.
No problem.
30 targets throughout Yemen. According to foreign reports, the attack is concentrated in 10 different locations, including the capital city of Sana'a and the provinces of Tez and El Hudeya. In response to the attacks, a senior member of the Houthi militia said that this is an open war, and he added, our actions against Israel will continue until the aggression on Gaza ceases, whatever the cost. At the same time, yesterday, the U.S. attacked more than 85 targets in Syria and Iraq. The Al Jazeera network reported at least 10 dead and 18 wounded in an attack on 8 bases in eastern Syria. Also, other sites near the border with Iraq were attacked. The U.S. military has dropped more than 125 precision munitions on intelligence bases, missile and drone depots, and logistical depots of the pro-Iranian militias in Iraq and Syria. John Kirby said, in total, 7 installations were attacked, 4 in Syria and 3 in Iraq, with 85 targets inside them. We believe that the attacks were successful and all the planes returned to their bases in the United States. He emphasized, the U.S. response began tonight, but it is not over. A spokesman for the Iraqi army said that the American attacks against the pro-Iranian militias in Iraqi territory could have disastrous consequences for the security and stability of Iraq and the region. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, Jordanian planes also participated in attacks against the pro-Iranian militias alongside the American ones. The New York Times reports that Iran has placed all of its armed forces on the highest level of alert in an attempt to deter the U.S. from escalating. We all know that the reason for the attacks is justified. Iran crossed a red line by ordering its proxy militias to attack an American base in Jordan, which resulted in the deaths of 3 American soldiers and the wounding of 34 others. The attack on the Tower 22 base in northeastern Jordan, near the Syrian border, which houses about 350 American soldiers, was carried out using a drone that was apparently launched from Syrian territory. Since the beginning of the war in Gaza, the American forces in the Middle East have been attacked more than 150 times by pro-Iranian militias in Iran, Syria, Jordan, and off the coast of Yemen and the Red Sea. The attack on American-based Tower 22 in Jordan was the first of the outbreak of war in which American soldiers were killed. Following the deadly attack, Washington persuaded Biden to take a tougher hand than usual. President Biden, who is in an election year, now needs to respond strongly and deter Iran without being dragged into a war in the Middle East. The pro-Iranian Iraqi militia Hezbollah brigades accepted responsibility for killing the Americans. Tehran denied involvement in the attack, saying that the decisions made by the militias it supports are made independently, and they do not receive orders from Ayatollah's regime. As Israeli officials often say, in the Middle East there is no mercy for the weak, and enemies are always looking for a crack in their opponents' defenses that can be exploited. This is why whatever the form of American punishment for the deadly attack is, it will have to be very strong to deter Iran from responding or escalating.
Okay, what did you guys think of that?
Do you want me to say or Don first? Ask Don first.
No.
Who's first?
I was just going to say that, you know, for Iraq to be the center point is appropriate. A lot of people think that they're Palestine, you know, that's God's birthplace, that might be, or Jesus' birthplace, that might be sometime where the earth ends.
No, it's where the origin of Babylon was. where some Israelis were sent during the time that the kingdom of Judea split up.
Yeah, well, the Iran right now, if they don't cut out that head of that snake by, more or less, like I said, by hook or by crook, they're going to need to, we're going to be beholden to allies who are reluctant to get into a full-scale war with us. Nobody in the world has the capability of keeping up with us with the appropriate munitions and ground forces or whatever forces that are needed. Germany might be our closest, strongest one. Of course, we'll have Israel in some form or fashion behind us, depending on who the...
Don, can you move into a private area? Because I hear background noise.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, that was good, John. I want to mention that I think Iranian's a bigger threat than Iraq, because American has a foothold.
No, Iraq's not the threat. Iraq is Iraq is an...
I'm sure they have factions there, but America overtook that country, and they're still in a regrouping phase.
Exactly. So they're very vulnerable. That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Mike, and you can put your two cents in about Yemen.
Okay. You know, first of all, Iranian, when you say Iranian are the biggest threat, you should replace it with Ayatollahs are the biggest threat to the world, instability and peace and tranquility for the world. I mean, when you say, Iranian, it looks like all the nation of Iran. Nation of Iran loves United States, loves all the countries. Actually, right now, since United States are bombing Iraq and Syria, Yemen, and today they killed the heads of the close relationship with the IRGC, the Kataib Hezbollah. So, you know, Iranians are dancing in the streets because of snow. Iranians are dancing in the streets for the snow, and they give videos out. So they are in direct message to Joe Biden. Come and free the nation of Iran, and we will take the rest into our hands. So, I mean, time is over. And
but
Biden,
in that video I just played, I don't know how much of it's true. The Ayatollah in Iran said that he doesn't take orders from the terrorist organization. So he washed his hands of the killing of those soldiers in Jordan. Like it was a private terrorist group that the Ayatollah himself was not behind it, it stated. I don't know if it's true.
No. Ayatollah's fingerprints everywhere. Ayatollah killed the people of Iran. Ayatollah killed people of Israel. Ayatollah killed the soldiers in the United States, in Syria, and around the globe. So Ayatollah fingerprints everywhere, and there is no question about the legitimacy of the government of Ayatollah. Ayatollah must go now, or World War III will start.
So okay, I'm going to look up Iran's GDP and see how wealthy they still are.
Well,
are they doing well? $400 billion.
No, Iran has had sanctions on them from America for decades. So, you know, they are not doing as well as they could have. The Shah was a surrogate American. You know, I mean, they had as many freedoms as we do in America and England and everywhere else until the Khomeini came in and the Ayatollah, and they went back to being a despot.
The U.S. and Iran have the similar GDPs. They're both at $400 billion. So they have more money than Iraq. The GDP of Iran is, well, now on this other report, it says $366 billion. But they're filthy rich.
I was going to say, Iran is not quite
but,
up with us.
Yeah, but the problem is that, you know, anything happens around the globe is a fingerprint by Ayatollah over there. Not, and Iranian people themselves are fed up with everything that's happening in their homeland, because poor get poorer and only rich get richer because they support the Ayatollah. That's all. The Aghazadeh, that means the master of the masters, they call themselves, because they're master of the lies and deception. And so their stomach getting bigger and bigger every day. And ordinary people, they don't have able to pay rent or food and et cetera.
Yeah,
so,
like, does the government provide their housing? And how many women are involved in the oil industry in Iran? Like, are any women technicians in the oil fields in Iran? Do they have
few.
Any involvement?
No, I
very
don't think
few.
So.
But there are some, and there are a lot of experts in academia who are female, but other than that, in the field or anywhere else, there are very few.
Yeah, very few. And that's why the revolution, and they say woman, life, freedom. Because one lady was killed due to the bad hijab because her hair was a little bit more than the other people, and they took her to police station and she died. And that's why people rebellion. So you can see that people of Iran have given signals to the Joe Biden many times, and this is the last signal they are receiving, dancing in the street. For the snow? No, it's not for the snow. It's for the good job that United States has done, killed this bastard, proxy belong to Iran terrorist government.
Do you guys want to hear something? I was in college from 1978 to 82, and in 1982 I had a roommate from Iran named Shapar Nelly. And that was about 2 years after Khomeini took over, after the Shah was removed in 79. And Iran was still sending students internationally to learn about, like, there were a lot of educated women in Iran at that time. I'm sure it's changed a lot since then. But Iran, they used to send a lot of students to Europe and America back before they got so repressive.
Anymore. Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah,
the women's
bad.
Women's is only for the washing dishes. Women's are for just the changing pampers and not even diapers. They just the washable pampers of the kids and basically they're housewives.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, see, Iran and Iraq, they both lost 500,000 people in the Iran-Iraq War from 1980 to 88. And,
no. That's wrong.
They lost
500,000
each.
No, 3
and
million.
And actually...
3 million total.
How many?
3 million total.
So each side lost about a million and a half?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I hate to say it, but they were kind of suckers of the Western powers, because I believe at that time America was funding Iraq to kill the Iranians. Like, the U.S. was on one side and Russia was on the other, and they were all suckers. Like, they were allowing their own people to die based on Western influences.
Absolutely.
But either way,
absolutely.
You know... Right, and now they've regrouped. They've controlled their own country for 40 years. I really don't know if it's gotten better.
44 years.
Yeah, and
years.
Their natural resources are still
hostage.
Strong.
Yeah,
like, Iran has the
hostage.
Second... Go ahead. Iran has the second largest...
Hostages.
What?
They took 90 million hostages. They are not from Iran.
That's in the last 44 years?
Yes, 44 years, they took 90 million hostages. Yes.
Jesus. Okay, I just wanted to make one fun fact, and then we can move on. Iran has the largest reserves of fossil fuels, including the second largest natural gas supply and the third largest proven oil reserves. So I don't. They should really try to improve their relations with people all over the world, because they're only going to end up supplying energy to Russia and China, and that's going to hurt the U.S.
Well, that's what you.
At least from our own standpoint.
Yes, yeah, but that's what they want. But the thing is, because they have the oil reserves that the third largest oil reserves in the world, I believe. And so they are, when our reserves dry up or we stop using TV barrels and. When the price goes up, and we have all these crises, Iran benefits. Iran, Venezuela, Russia—they all benefit. They make money. We lose money. So, those are the things that Iran has in his pocket.
So the top,
absolutely,
Iran's top buyers are China, United Arab Emirates, India, and Turkey. That's the top five four that trade from them, with them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So let's just jump back for a minute. Germany also did a lot of business with them. Let's just jump back a minute. In the next 6 months, if the Israeli crisis isn't solved, what do you guys predict? If the Palestinian and Israeli conflict is not resolved, what do you guys will predict that will happen in the Mideast region?
Yeah. You want me to go first or Don first? Don, do you have any? Do you want to go first and then me? That's fine. Or you want me to go first?
I went first last time. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, but thank you very much. I mean, I think if Joe Biden doesn't attack the facilities in the southern part of Iran and the navy of Iran and the oil refineries, then basically Israel is going to be pissed, and Israel is going to use all the power they have, and they're going to do it even alone, if not with the United States. But I hope Joe Biden attacks the facilities and make IRGC the weakest point and let the Iranian people do the other jobs, and they will take care of them. They bring justice and peace and tranquility to the world. And this regime is hostage takers. This regime took 90 million hostages of Iranians into their hands, and they don't let them go anywhere. And 44 years is enough. I mean, look at Israel hostages, or how many? It's more than 140 days, roughly, more or less. They are hostages of the Palestinians.
Those people are never going to get freed, because Israel refutes to cease the air fire.
No, because Israel knows these vast people are lies, and this master of lies and deception. They say you something, and then they do something else, or they guide you to something, that is not the truth. And so, yeah, Netanyahu knows how to deal with these people, because Prime Minister Netanyahu, he knows exactly what he needs to do, because if they come and they say, okay, we go back to our things, and again, we give you the land back, same thing will happen this time, 100 times more horrible, because Ayatollah take the money from Iranians and send it to right in the Palestine, Yemen, Houthis, anywhere that is terrorism, to get the head of a snake and let's just do it or wait for a greater war for mankind. Whichever you, Joe Biden wants, it's up to him.
Okay. Don, I'm going to interject something quick before you go. The United States has a small number of U.S. military personnel in Yemen, but they're only there to conduct operations against al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and ISIS. The United States House told Congress, the White House, that, you know, they're trying to manipulate the War Powers Act on December 7th so they can have more leverage in that country. And the largest U.S. military base in the Middle East is located in Qatar. It was built in 1996. Other countries that the U.S. house military bases in the Middle East are Bahrain, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. So I just, the only thing I'm concerned about is that we're putting out little fires, but the real question is how coordinated is Iran and other enemies against Israel, and how long can we just put out little fires before it turns into a regional war? So, Don, you can go next.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Don, brother.
Mic real quick? Okay.
Don?
No, I thought Mike wanted to say something real quick. But
no,
anyway,
I said go ahead, please.
Okay.
He already went.
I know, but maybe he wanted to say something else. He missed something. But anyway, first part is that there might be an end to the Palestinian fight in Gaza because of famine and disease. These people, this is a major, major city in the entire world. And it's made up, comprised of everybody and their mother who lived there. You know, if you want to talk from Jordan to Syria to all over, everybody lives in Gaza. So in order for it to have been destroyed like it is, and the people are still there, they can't go anywhere because they're restricted to Lebanon and Jordan and places like that. They're, you know, being displaced. They can't go to the West Bank because of the situation there. And so, you know, this is something that Israelis still want to push more land into Gaza and the West Bank, take that land going into the Palestine. So, you know, there's a whole lot going there that is going to make that place so weak that it could eventually sooner than later break down, and it wouldn't be necessary for something that was caused by other people or by the war continuing. It's when it's already happened. And that's, I think, a real possibility that we won't even be able to go in there because it's so contaminated with dead bodies and whatever other filth and excrement and bacteria that you can imagine. But the second part is the Qatar. You know, you've got to understand, people have to understand that Yemen is not so much involved with all of these wars themselves as a country, but there's the training grounds for all of these different factions. So, you know, when you talk about Yemen, in a way, you have to be sympathetic. I hate to put it that way, but they're just sitting there where everybody comes and trains their militia, and they don't have a whole lot to do about it. Okay. All right. Hold on.
Oh, I don't have people.
Okay. I'll go quick, and then you can, Mike. The thing is the problem is Israel won't compromise. because of their historical presence in the region, but they have to realize that eventually they have to address humanitarian problems. And it's going to create a vacuum and more terrorism if they don't address it now. And they see everything, every action of a two-partnership state as a sign of weakness because they don't think the Islamic people are going to accept Israel as a nation. So how do you feel about that, Mike?
Yes. You know, Cyrus the Great, when captured the Babylon along over 2,500 years ago, he freed all the Jews and he gave them actually money, gold, and say, go ahead with the gold money. Go ahead and build your homes and houses much more bigger, and he gave them instruction how to build it. So nobody can be enslaved ever again in the world. And people of Iran love the people of Israel. People of Israel love people of Iran. We have no enmity with anybody. But the Ayatollahs are different. Ayatollahs are not from Iran. Ayatollahs, you know, who was Khomeini? Khomeini was born in India. And he was from India, and then he came back to Iran, and then he took the power. And when they asked him, Ayatollah Khomeini, what's your feeling about Iran? You have come after 30 years in exile in Iraq. He said, I have no feeling. So we didn't give, but those people gave to Ayatollahs all the power. Shame on them. I mean, the person when we come, say, from, you go to United Kingdom and you come back to United States, your friends say, how you feel? You say, I am great coming back to my homeland again. My homeland, United States, I see my everybody again. You know, when you go leave United States, you know, then you appreciate the United States more than anywhere else in the world. But he said, never anything. I have no feeling to come back to the United States. To Iran. Ayatollah and to the journalist. So you see, this Ayatollah are separate. Their things are separate from people of Iran. Iranians are separate from Ayatollah. And I hope people in the news or whatever you want to broadcast, that's fine, but don't say Iranians don't like United States or Iranians don't like this and that.
You think they do?
No.
You think the individual people of Iran don't have as much bad feelings towards the U.S. and Israel as the leadership?
Of course, 90% of Iranian love those 10%. I cannot control it, but those 90% love United States, love people of Israel, love the people of Iran. But you know, this Palestinian, if you ask a Palestinian, they never say, "Oh, you are, you know, sorry for what happened in Iran." No, because they love what happened in Iran. Because they get money from Ayatollah. And that's why we Iranians don't like...
Who gets money from the Ayatollah? Who gets money from the Ayatollah? No, who gets money from the Ayatollah, did you say?
Palestinians, Houthis, and all these...
I get it.
You know, that's the problem.
I just think, people, the factions of the religious conflict in those areas, everybody has a preset mind, except for the young Israeli youth, who is willing to be more open to the Palestinians. The mindset there is too enemy-driven. Like, they already have drawn enemy lines on who the good and bad guys are in all those countries. And even factions in Iran, Iraq, and Israel and Palestine, it's hard for them to see the forest between the trees, because I watched I listened to an episode on NPR, and they interviewed a family who had 6 kids since the start of the Israeli war, and the family decided to relocate to Egypt because they have relatives there, but they had to leave the husband behind, and they had to deal with things, and they kept telling their children white lies because they didn't want to tell them the whole truth. So they finally, the kids kept asking, are we going to die? Are we going to die? And finally they said, yes, we might die, but if we die, we're going to die all together. So the reality is that all these religious and military factions are killing people, and it's kind of hard for people to change their mindset when it's life or death. I saw one video where one little 3-year-old Palestinian boy was looking for his mother in a heap of rubble. It was like a big sand mound that she got buried under, and he was calling in the little giant dirt pile that had a circular, you know, like it had like a hole in it, like a cave. But everyone knows he was never going to find her. But the thing is that the U.S. is going to be the aggressor because we're the most hegemonic power, and we're going to prove our interests. But what if Russia gets sidetracked from Ukraine and they keep filtering help to the Mideast on the countries they support, which are the opposite of us? So I think World War III is inevitable. It's just a matter of time.
Yes.
And
I have to go
to a special doctor appointment tomorrow, so I want to wrap the show up in the next 5 or 10 minutes. So can both you and Don do your conclusions?
Okay, I go first. My conclusion is that World War III is inevitable, of course, but we can see the players on the World War III. We can dismantle them right now. Iran is going to have atom bomb within a week, and already they have it. I mean, a week is a joke. They already have it. They have many atom bombs, and we cannot accept Ayatollah's bid atom bomb. And then not only NATO is going to be under their, missiles, Israel, and many parts of the United States as well, too. So we cannot see that happening like North Korea. We let North Korea to have atom bomb, but Iran, Ayatollahs are not North Koreans. If we let them, that's it. And they already had many atomic bomb tests in Persian Gulf. A couple of years ago, they had a 6.0 in Persian Gulf, 5.0. And everybody knows that they already pretty much
so do you
ready
think
to go.
Under what circumstances would Iran use the atom bomb or a nuclear bomb?
They already want to use it. Every circumstances they want to use it. And if we more delay to attack Iran without contact, then basically. Shame on us. And I want to give 2 places for you guys to go. YouTube it. One is Canadian Prepper. Canadian Prepper, we tell you, salute you. And also NY Prepper. He has also live news, especially when both of them. Any emergency happens, both channels are there for eyes and ears of what would be the next. As we speak on United States of America right now, we have many B-1 bombers patrolling to protect Americans from any Russian missile or North Korean or possibly Iranian missile, atom bombs. So you see, those information only you can get it at Canadian Prepper or NY Prepper. I don't get any kickbacks from any of them, but these are my favorite places to get intelligence and information, which I already know, but some of it I may not know. Thank you, dear. Thank you, Don.
That was a good conclusion. Don, could you do your conclusion now?
Yeah, as it pertains to World War III, you guys just expanded that whole scope right there. First of all, the bombs from Iran and North Korea probably will be either ineffective or intercepted. So there won't be a possibility, even if they launched, for them to strike any place else other than where they have been originated from. But we'll be able to make sure that we don't get anybody else involved, as Russia, who is the puppet master over there. And Pakistan by India. Now, if something happens, India gets riled, Pakistan gets riled, and both of them have nuclear weapons, then, you know, if anything goes astray, then the conflagration begins. But, you know, we're looking at the fact that there are a lot of people who do have effective bombs, but I don't think that Iran has necessarily the complete, they have the propulsion capability, but I don't know if they have the mix, the right mix to pull it off effectively. North Korea, on the other hand, they have detonation, they have flight and detonation problems. But that, I mean,
North Korea launched something in the Japan Sea recently.
Right, and it probably missed where they were aiming. So you know,
it was just a test.
Right.
Well,
but
I do think
in terms of conclusions, though, I don't think World War III is going to be imminent, as long as, and then this is what Mike has said repeatedly, so we don't cut the head off of the snake.
God bless you for what you're saying, and I hope your people understand that this is the truth. I mean, if we don't bring freedom and democracy back to Iran, then hell will break loose. Go ahead, please.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, for the most part, you know, everybody is talking about socialism and things. Socialism is the antithesis of being free. You know, if you're talking about African American, black people want to be free. We don't care about whose religion, whose government it is. You know, we've been here 17 times as long as anybody, so we know what the program is. But freedom and fun. There are articles from the AP today about how black people love to have joy. That's one of their main motivations, family and joy. And, you know, income, the higher income they have, the more joy they have. And that's to be, not to be taken.
I was
going to
mention that since the beginning of the Ukraine war, there really hasn't been that much international focus on Iran or Iraq. Like, they haven't gotten a lot of headlines. So anyways, I have to end the show now. I got a big doctor appointment tomorrow regarding a past company, and I'm going to play a song, okay? So thanks for calling in, everybody. Yeah, we usually have a show Saturdays and Thursdays now, but I had to do an overnight tomorrow night, so we did it on Wednesdays. Okay?
Nice
calling in Singapore, Mike, and I hope you're doing well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was great to hear. You helped us a lot. Thank you so much. Good night.
My pleasure. Good night.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Later. Yeah.
We were good. We were cold. Kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't. Built a home and watched it.
That was a good song. I played it because Miley Cyrus won the Grammys. Thank you for joining our show. Singapore Mike had been on our show 3 or 4 years, from like 2017 to 2021, and we're glad that he's back. Thank you and have a good night.